Hello guys, welcome to another webcast. Today with us we have Luis Carmo. This webcast from today will be a continuation from the previous version that Luis already have deployed. The link is available on the chat window. If you are curious about the process, about the basics, you can click and see the previous one. Please Luis, the stage is yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruno. It's really nice to be here again, so it's my second time. Let me just start presenting my screen. Okay. Okay, so please thumbs up if you can see my screen. PowerPoint should be loading. Yeah, great. So, like I was saying, I would like to thank Bruno for the invitation here. So, a few months ago, I was covering an initial part that was basically focusing on identity, so cloud identity, federated identity, and we covered something about web profile, something related also to authentication protocols, and we were like having at the last 20 minutes we were just digging around on a filter trace and trying to understand basically or confirming what I was describing on the PowerPoint slides. So this invitation, when Bruno asked me, it was making some sense to have a second one, because eventually this is like a small brown bag, we can't cover everything. And when I was thinking, okay, so what should we cover now? So we should cover more or less the same thing, but get into more detail, okay? In detail related to authentication protocols, and also just digging around on a filter trace, because that can be really useful for support or everyone that is trying to troubleshoot authentication issues when you have federated identities. Okay. So one thing, I'm an SE for cloud identity team, MA cloud identity team, and for the last 2 years and a half, and I'm supporting everything that is related to ADFS, AD Connect, so at the end should be related to identity and authentication, okay? So let's continue. One thing that I like, if you have any question, just write it down, or as soon as I find an open window, I will just stop and ask some questions. So please be free to make some questions. I would like just to stop for a while and then we can just focus on that. At the end, I will have like 10, 15 minutes just open for you guys, okay? So please be free to write down something, and then as soon as possible, we will try to cover it. So agenda for today. I will cover some sign-in protocols like WSFed and SAML, more related to WSFed because it's the most common one when we have ADFS environments, or even third-party IDP providers like Ping Federate, for example, or NetIQ from IBM. So eventually that I will cover that because it's like 90% being used compared to SAML. Okay. And SAML is also a more old sign-in protocol. For example, Shibboleth, that is a free third-party IDP provider. So we don't, I will not cover much, but just to compare both, because that can be real useful. Regarding authentication types, so we'll get into deep, a little bit deep from where we were last time. We were discuss about Windows integrated authentication. We will discuss about forms-based authentication, and then we'll cover that and make some examples or demos from what we can see on a live environment for both. Okay, so some situations where we will have an authentication request going through an ADFS proxy, so we'll have forms-based authentication and we'll see the differences between a request and a response, and then we will see also the same for Windows integrated authentication, and we'll discuss a little bit about Kerberos and how we negotiate what we're going to use related to authentication types and authentication protocols. Okay. Any questions so far? Already? No questions? Okay, so let me just start, okay? So I will cover, like I was saying, I will cover basically about signing protocols, more on signing protocols. That's why I will start to reference about WSFed and SAML. So they are signing protocols, not authentication protocols. Authentication protocols can be, for example, Kerberos and TLM. Okay? So just a small analogy just to smooth thing up before going to more details. So we have three distinct reference that we will use when we will be comparing WSFed and SAML. Okay. So, and basically just using a real world analogy, what is a signing protocol? So it's more or less the same thing that when we go to a kiosk and on an airport, for example, and then we will print a boarding pass. Okay. Then we need to go to a TSA line. We then will need to find the gates, and then we'll board the plane. So it's just like all the steps that we can do related to a real-world analogy. So it's expected that in the middle we interact with people, for example, and then we'll perform these actions in a specific sequence. Okay. So otherwise, like I was saying over there, otherwise I will not get on my plane. That's what we can use as an analogy for a signing protocol. Okay, when I will say just about WSFed and SAML. Related to the authentication protocol, when I will reference about Kerberos and NTLM, so it's my ID, right? ID or password, or passport, sorry, that I will present just to prove that I'm what I'm supposed to be. Right, so that can be an analogy for an authentication protocol. And related to tokens, I will also cover that and we will discuss it. So the token should be my boarding pass. Okay, so after this, as the final action or sequences, I will have my boarding pass that I will present to the steward just before entering my plane. Okay. So that's what we will cover today on a real-world analogy. So getting through WSFed, okay? So just small references. I will not cover it in detail, just for your references regarding this. So it was released on 2006. Microsoft was a key contributor that was helping developing this signing protocol. It's built it on a work of WS Trust from 2005. I will cover a little bit more after. And eventually, it defines the WS Trust, which should define the protocol for request and receive security tokens. Okay. And also how we should trust the brokers between parties. So in this case, the STS and the it can be, for example, EDFS, the STS, and it can be an app, a web app like SharePoint on-prem or whatever, or Office 365 Online. Two profiles. So we'll have active requester profile and passive requester profile. Active, for example, if you have Outlook, you will have one thing that is signing assistant, meaning that the authentication flow for an active profile should be different. I will not cover that. I believe I covered some part on the last one. I'm not sure. But eventually, yeah, it can be, for example, for Skype for Business, not the newest versions, because the newest versions will use passive requester profile on a modern authentication type. And passive requester, like I was saying, is just like a web request. So me going to a web browser and provide my credentials, for example. And that's a passive requester profile that we'll focus today, and I will show you on Fiddler, and I will focus because it's the most important one, the most used, and we are all based on Microsoft's apps that we're developing. All of them will have at the end more authentication that is using a passive requester profile. But basically, passive request is just a client that is aware of an existence of an SDS or ADFS, and it will engage directly the ADFS to grab a notification token. Okay, with Active, it's not like that. It's basically, if we reference Office 365, its authentication platform, or even the workload like SharePoint Online or Exchange Online, that will request an authentication token in the name of the user that is trying to authenticate. Okay, so token agnostic. So unlike SAML, the token can be anything. Okay, so we can build it from the way that we want. Of course, if we're talking about ADFS and Office 365, we should follow some rules, and part of them rule, those rules I will cover. Okay, but if we're discussing about ADFS with an app for, let's say, SharePoint on-prem or CRM on-prem, eventually I will create or set the token based on my convenience. Okay, so when we see a request, so on the latest presentation I did, we were covering about the TCP protocol, where we see requests, where we see responses, okay, and we covered that. So basically what we'll do is that for WS Fed passive request on just only one URL, that is the difference also from WS Fed to SAML, like we'll see, on one only URL, we'll basically set eventually the type of request we're doing. Okay, so if you can see above, so we will see, and then we can split it out. So first part here, basically this is the STS name and the request to a passive profile, because I'm seeing just ADFS LS. So farther from that, we will have WA equals signing 1.0. Basically this tells the ADFS or IDP to invoke a login for the user. WT realm, so this part over here, this tells the ADFS that application, what application we want to access. This has to match the identifier of one of the relying party trusts listed in ADFS. So if it's for Office 365, it will be binded to a specific name or relying party. If it's SharePoint on-prem, it should be referenced to the relying party trust listed on the ADFS. Okay. WCTX, this part over here. Session data that application wants to send it back after the user gets authenticated. And WCT, this last part here, is basically the time we try to gain access to this application. Okay. So when we see a request like this, we immediately say that, okay, no question, this is not SAML, this is WS Fed, because we can see exactly a reference like WT or W or even W, that should be enough. And then we'll say that it's a WS Fed request, common for ADFS, for example. And then we can split it out and then split it out like this exactly. Okay. So continuing just like a cheat sheet when it was ratified, just like to summarize, it's used on web signing scenarios, .NET web apps. Format, like I said, is agnostic. Okay, the token, not to confuse SAML as a token format with SAML as a signing protocol. Okay, SAML token is just a format of the token that is being used for WS Fed. ADFS support for all versions, yes, and of course Azure AD support. An example from a SAML 1.1. So WS Fed use a token format as a SAML on version 1.1. SAML, like we're seeing, it will use a token format as SAML 2.0. So if I open this token, a token that we will see when I will use Fiddler, okay? So let me just share this. And let me open this, or try to open this. If I can, just a second. So Here we are. Give me just a second. Downloading. Save file. Okay. I have it here right now. Let me just bring this to the screen. Okay. So it's an XML file. I'm opening using Internet Explorer. You can open, for example, using an XML viewer. It should be exactly the same thing. So as you can see, it's just basically XML, right? So we can open and see. So more important things that we referenced now, this is only an example. So this is the issuer on this part here. So the issuer determines exactly the STS should be a unique value here. So this is the STS name that is my token creator. Let's call it like that. Then I will have more important things, our claims on this part here. So we call it attributes, XAML attributes here. So as you can see, I will just highlight this part. Okay. So it can be an email address, Windows account name, a role. It can be a UPN. It can be your last name. It can be the description. So basically what I will set when the user is authenticated on an Active Directory, ADFS will create a token, and the token will contain assertions or claims from the user attribute. It can be an address, it can be email address, like we will have here, okay? If I have an on-prem solution, so no Office 365, what will happen is that I can build these claims based on what I want. So if I have, let's say, CRM on premises, and I want to consume a token, and I want to use the content of the token to populate some specific attributes, or, for example, use group membership to see and set some authorization for a user, I can do that. So basically, I will create a token, I will keep my group memberships, for example, or one specific attribute, and then I will basically provide to the CRM app, and it will be consumed, and all the contents will be consumed, because with claims or tokens, we don't exchange username and password. So basically, we will consume tokens that will have specific claims, like email address, roles, UPNs, whatever. Okay. For Office 365, one important thing is that since we don't have the chance to change this, so it's something that is set for ADFS, there's some minimum requirements, and minimum requirements will be, for example, the UPN of the user and the immutable ID of the user. Okay, I will not cover that, of course, because it's for different things than I covered on the last one. So we see here roles, we'll see Windows account, that will not be on a SAML.1.1 token. For example, if you're troubleshooting ADFS or if you're trying to get more or extract a token from it. Okay. Important things here, the certificate that is being used. So each ADFS will have one thing that is called the token signing certificate that will be shared to the relying party. So an example again, we have on-premises solution for one specific customer, and then we'll have Office 365. So this token signing will be shared to the, because I'm creating a relying party, will be shared to the Microsoft site, and then it will be used to basically to sign in and basically just to prove that I'm using exactly the same certificate. Okay. So more things here, interesting things here. Yeah, I have a lot of things that are basically like core, and they are needed, okay? But then I can see, for example, specific IDs or conditions for the token, so it will be valid, for example, not before a date or not after a specific date. And that's much about it. Okay, so we will see in a few minutes a token for generated by ADFS for a relying party with Office 365. that will have more or less the same content, but you'll see that we'll have less attributes or less assertions, okay, or claims. So, questions so far before jumping into another signing protocol? No questions, guys? Thank you, Luis. Okay, so even if you have some questions, if you don't want to write or just doing it now, we can cover that in the end, okay? So as a quick reference, like I was saying for SAML, okay, so it's SAML means Security Assertion Markup Language, preceded by SAML.1.1, ratified 2003, okay, only have two scenarios, in this case for web passive and active profile. More important things here, for example, one third-party IDP provider that uses SAML, it's Shibboleth. Okay, for the ones that cover or work with Office 365, we can use a third-party IDP provider, and then when we're creating a relying party and sending over the relying party information for the online services, our online services, Microsoft, we will see as authentication part, meaning as SAMLP or SAML passive. Okay, it's exactly the same thing as SAML here. So many features, so grabbed feature for SAML 1.1, and that is why it's called, it's used as SAML 2.0, because basically it was used as standard for .1.1 that we use for WSFed, and this just created more attributes or more specifications for this type of signing protocol. By default, we can have ADFS work with SAML 2.0, okay? And of course, by default, it's WSFed, so we can do that. However, for example, for Office 65, it's not just simple as running one or two commandlets and just that's it. So there's a lot of changes we should do, but yes, it's possible, okay? Even a third party like Ping Federate, for example, you can do exactly the same. So you need to choose exactly what is the signing protocol that I will use when I'm just trying to get or to create a relying party between my corporate and the other corporate, in this case for Microsoft or any other one. So an example, for example, when we are seeing with WSFed a request, if you remember, we just saw an URL and then I was just splitting it, right? So with SAML 2.0, this is the authentication request that we're doing. So as you can see, it's completely different, right? So, and it's more, let's say, hard to have or to build. And eventually it's not that easy as just copy paste an URL like I will show in a few minutes. And then you can just, make a request to an STS. Or test a request to an STS. So we can grab all of this on a fiddler trace, but eventually, as you can see, there's a different pattern for requests and responses compared to WSFed that I have a picture here below. So this is exactly the same thing as SAML, but it's built it in with a different standard. And then in the top, I just identified this as an authentication request. Okay. And if it was for WSFed, as you can see below, just this pass as WA equal WSignIn 1.0. So the same thing here, okay? The same thing here, but more complex or more suited or more XML style, even for a request and a response, okay? So similar to WSFed passive, they are incompatible between SAML and WSFed, okay? Sometimes we have customers that have a third-party IDP provider, and then they only have, let's say, SAML 2.0, and then what will happen on SAML in this case, and then they will try to have a different corporate and the signing protocol are different, so that they are incompatible, so they just need to be the same from both sides. Okay. So also has an IDP initiated use case, okay, and eventually a session query profiles that I will show you on the XAML 2.0 token that I have here as an example. So in this case, as a passive request, this is more or less similar, okay? So XAML request here, it's different. So base64 encoded XML document, okay, like we saw before. Relay state, this part here, session data that application wants to send it back after ticket against IDP. So in this part, also pretty similar to WSFed. Sig alg here, so which signature algorithm was used to sign in the request, and the signature, the digital signature of the request above, of the sig alg. So it exactly should be the digital signature. So it has more or less the same view or the same goal here. However, the XAML request, as you can see, it's totally different here, is basically an encoded XML document, as you can see here, okay? This part only, okay? Hi, Sylvia. Yeah, it's like disclosing the part of the cert. What you mean about this, disclosing the part of the cert? Can you be more specific? Okay. Yeah, exactly. I still have it here, I believe. No, it was already down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is not the full one here, but yes. Yeah, exactly. I believe I'm following what you're saying. Yeah, so we can see that. I will get here in a second. Just let me grab this XAML 2.0 token, and then we can compare it, okay? Just a second. Okay, almost there. Let me try directly with Internet Explorer, should be best. Okay, so this is an example. Okay, so it's exactly the same thing. So on this is XAML 2.0 token, so you'll see also the certificate being used here. Okay. And you can see also here XAML 2.0 protocol. Okay. And you'll see things like the issuer, same drill here. And on this case, I don't have much. I have some assertions here, like UPN, okay, or claims. But it has more or less the same view. Okay. Yeah, and we can see the same part, exactly. It's more or less the same thing, okay? So just to wrap up this part, okay? So just to wrap up this part, so when to use it, web signing scenarios, usually third-party web apps, token format as XML, we saw that. It's supported and available on 2.0 and 2.1 and also 3.0. It's not easy to set up, but it's possible. Okay. Because it will can issue SAML 1.1 and SAML 2.0 tokens. Okay. For this case, for SAML should be SAML 2.0 protocol being used only. Okay. And then, of course, the support for Azure AD, because we can have it for third-party IDP providers or even for ADFS. Okay. So, questions so far? So, basically, we saw, just to summarize a little, we saw the contents of two tokens, one created by using the signing protocol as WSFed, so using SAML 1.1, issuing SAML 1.1 tokens, and eventually for SAML as a protocol, as SAML 2.0, issuing SAML 2.0 tokens that they are having more or less the same XML figure, but eventually the difference can be targeted here on this specific request. And as an example, and the most important thing here is if we are trying to get on a fiddler trace a SAML request, okay, I will need to grab it and it will have this SAML 2.0 authentication request format, as you can see here, okay? And that's a different between SAML 2.0 and WSFed here, okay? Good, so covering, we can, if you have more questions, we can cover that in the end. Let's just jump in quickly to authentication, okay? So just a reference here about authentication. So this is like a leverage from what we know and what we're using, okay? So basically, when we have anonymous authentication between a client and the server, so this means that there's a get from the client to the server for a specific resource using a specific protocol, in this case HTTP on 1.1 version, and there's a response with 200 as okay for the client. So no authentication at all. This means that anyone can access the web resource. It can be great for resources intended to be publicly available, like a web page, okay? Real easy to set up, so we don't need a notification platform, right? It's supported for all browsers, so we'll not have those problems like only Internet Explorer can have single sign-on or whatever, because there's no sign-on, eventually. And users, of course, users will not be individually authenticated. So any website that we're trying to use will have, that is publicly available without any type of authentication. So there's no authentication requests or responses. So it's just a simple a get from a client to a server and a response, because it will be the server itself that will set the negotiation between the client and the server. So this is the most basic authentication option that we can have to a web resource. Okay. Basic authentication. So with basic, we already have something. So this is the same drill. So a get from a client to a server. The client accesses the web server requesting a resource. Then the web server prompts the client for user credentials. So unlike forms, for example, the credential prompt will be browser-specific, okay? So as you can see here, authorization required, and then we'll have a code as 401. This is pretty common when we will have a fiddler trace, okay? So this doesn't mean there's an error, just means that, okay, I want to get this resource, but I don't know where you are, so please provide me some credentials or some sort of credentials. Okay. After that, the client sends the credentials after that pop-up or any type of authentication form that we'll have. So on this case, because it's basic, the string is base64 encoded before sending over on the network. So no encryption is happening here, meaning that it can be intercepted and decoded, because base64 decoding is pretty simple to do, and you have a lot of resources on the internet that can do it. Or even Fiddler can do it, okay? So with the user credentials, The web server will contact the domain controller for authentication, if you're on a domain environment, of course. If you're on a different environment where the authentication acts not on a domain controller but on anything else, it should be contact that resource. And then the domain controller will verify the credentials, and it will send a response. And at the end, it will provide an HTTP 200 OK code. Okay. So on this case, if you want to add extra security on a basic authentication, we will have to have SSL, or for this case, TLS for security. Okay. However, even with TLS, because it's basic authentication, the web server will know the actual password that is being sent from the client. Okay. So that's a drawback. So this is basic forms. Okay. So this is the part that we will cover on the Fiddler Trace for a while. So because they are most directly related to EDFS, like we will see. So we have forms-based authentication. I will call it FBA, okay, just to shorten up. So the same drill here, okay, same thing. So just some points here. We will see, on this case, a redirect. So it's independent of the transfer protocol. The authentication is implemented in the application itself, okay, and occurs after the server or the service authentication. So typically, the server is set to use anonymous, okay, and it's also very simple to implement. So just an example here. So basically, the authentication will go through on the application part, okay. On this case, you will see, and we will set after this, then you will see a username and a password, and then we will provide credentials, and then we will see the same thing on Fiddler Trace just for a while. Okay. So at the end, there will be a post with the resource, the return URL, and then at the end, it will provide me the location or the content that I'm trying to authenticate. Okay. Same thing as TLS required to prevent replay attacks on forms. Okay. So we should use HTTPS. So at the end, we will get a GET and a response from the server. Okay. So integrated Windows credentials, or WEA, Windows Integrated Authentication. So it is most common for Active Directory environments. Okay. In this case, I will use as an authentication protocol, or show as an authentication protocol, as NTLM. So it can be NTLM or Kerberos. Okay. On an Active Directory domain for this case. So the same thing here. The client connects to the server. The server sends and negotiates between, on this case, it will be sorted out to NTLM. We will see on the Fiddler Trace in a few moments for EDFS that we'll try to negotiate and NTLM. So negotiate should be Kerberos and NTLM, or NTLM. So as a negotiation authentication platform, authentication protocol. So server sends and negotiate, and on the header, it will be posted exactly this information, okay? So as an NTLM www authentication header, we'll see that on the filler. If the browser recognizes the negotiated header, okay, Kerberos will be used, like we'll see. If not, so NTLM will be used like a plan B, let's call it that way. Or if we have Kerberos issues on an Active Directory platform, or on an Active Directory environment. So when the user attempts to access the server, the client sends a request to the server, like you're seeing here. We'll include the username along with the request in a plain text. Okay. We'll see also that. So the server then will send a challenge message. Okay. Then we'll see a 401 again, and the client sends a response message using the password hash generated from the user's password. Okay, so that's the difference between this and the Kerberos ticket that we'll see in a few minutes. So at the end, we'll have the access to our web server content. Okay, so from Kerberos, so in this case is NTLM, when we can't have Kerberos, for example, and in what situations we will not have Kerberos, for example, if our workstation is not member of the domain, okay, or if there's any specific service principal name problems or no Kerberos being used, so it will bounce to NTLM. So if we have a full environment, an healthy environment on Active Directory, Kerberos should be used. So client connects to the server. Same drill, 401, so I don't have an authentication on this moment, so let's grab one. So server sends a negotiate as on the header as Kerberos, sorry. And this negotiate means Kerberos, okay? So what we'll see in the field of trace that we'll see all the time from the server side, from the ADFS side, we'll see negotiate or NTLM. On this case, since I'm just binding to Kerberos, I will see a negotiate. So the client sends the service ticket, in this case, my Kerberos ticket, to the web server. Okay. It's validated by the server, and it will respond allowing access to the resource. Oops. I missed that part at the end, but trust me, it's an HTTP 200. It's okay. It's here. I was having a lag on my screen. Okay. So in this case, Kerberos ticket will be used, and we will see also that on the Fiddler trace. So remember that a resource, a get from a resource, then the server will try to negotiate with me the authentication that will be required. So eventually for ADFS, it should be negotiate or NTLM. Negotiate should be Kerberos. NTLM is NTLM. So basically, the differences will be for Kerberos that we will not be able to see in a plain text the password that is being sent. And eventually, I will use my Kerberos ticket that we can just also grab from a K-list, and then we'll see what is the Kerberos ticket that is being used for the HTTP resource that we're getting, on this case for ADFS. Okay, just to finish this part here about the supported standards in ADFS, that's what we covered, okay, WSFed, SAML, SAML 2, basically that's about it, for 2.0 of course, and 2.1 for Windows Server 2012. So if you are using 2012 R2, so we'll have everything just before. Everything that we have here, SAML 1.1, 2.0, operation modes, tokens, whatever. And then we had something like a profile for OAuth that I will not cover today. And I can use a different type of tokens or web tokens that are called JUT or JUT tokens or adjacent JavaScript object notation as a JUT or GWT tokens that has a different also pattern. Okay, so just before going through this, so let me show you basically, or I can do it now if you, any questions for this, just before going to see basic profile and just jumping to Fiddler. So no questions about basic authentication, anonymous authentication, basic authentication, authentication with Kerberos, and authentication with NTLM. We'll cover at least the second, the two ones, okay, forms base and Windows Integrated Authentication, okay. We will see both. We will not see NTLM because my environment is working properly, so that's a no-go, a no-no. But it's working properly, so we'll see Kerberos and not NTLM. Okay. Can I continue? Thumbs up, please, if you're still there. Good. So real quick on the passive profile. Thank you, guys. Real quick on the passive profile. I also covered this on the last one, so I'll be real quick on this one just to leverage our knowledge before going through Fiddler. So I have a user or a client here joined to a corporate, an Active Directory environment, trying to get access to SharePoint Online, for example. So I will try to access SharePoint Online. Of course, the service will tell to the client that it needs a service ticket or a token on this case, signed by the authentication platform that is online, Office 365. So then it sends back the client to the SDS itself. So grab a ticket from the SDS. So in my client, we'll do exactly like that. Okay. So let's go to the authentication platform. Authentication platform will say, okay, so you're a federated identity. So I know your SDS. I will tell you from what you can have an authentication token. So let's grab one. So I'm here right now. So ADFS server. Okay. And it will request a login token. Okay. So the ADFS will contact the AD. Okay. And it will get an NTLM token or a Kerberos ticket for you on this case. And then that's it. So I will have my, in this case, SAML 1.1 token. It will contain, because this is for Office 365 as a minimum requirement, it will contain the UPN of the user and the immutable ID or source user ID, as you can see here. Okay. So it will provide that to the client. The client will send the same to our authentication platform. Okay. So the authentication platform will check that the token is signed by the trusted authority for the federated domain through the public key that was shared when we created the trust, the token signing, remember that. If it's successful, it will create a new token, okay, that will have the same user principal name that grabbed from the authentication platform here. It will have a unique ID for the user, and then it will give back to the client, and then the client will give the token to SharePoint, and then SharePoint will consume it, and access will be granted. Okay? So this is a passive profile. So it will work for SharePoint, it will work for any other Office 65 platform we have. If it's on-prem, for example, in here, authentication platform will be a different corporate, for example, not Microsoft, but a different one. Okay, so let's grab it. So it's, I have a workstation here, so let me pull down this. Okay, so simple thing. So I will get to my portal here. You all know this one, right? Okay, so let me grab Fiddler first. Let me run Fiddler. Okay, let's minimize because it's already capturing here. So, first thing to do before doing this, because I was testing, I already have a Kerberos ticket that is being used. How can I see that? So KList ticket. So this is all my tickets I have, and then I will find one that is being used for a previous authentication request I did, and there you go. So this is my resource HTTP, and this is my SDS or my ADFS. Okay? So if I want to see all flow from top to bottom or bottom top, so let's purge it. So KList purge. Okay, all tickets purge. If I do again tickets, they are empty. So let's grab it. So this is my user webcast one. This is my federated domain. Okay, now I will get user realm discovery. I will be bounced to my SDS. And I will have access to my portal, right? So pretty simple, right? So what's happening in in the back. So that's what we will see. So just let's stop this when we see our portal. Fiddle is still running, if you remember. So, okay, so I'm inside. So let's just stop this. This is just an issue with the browser itself. So with a refresh, I'm totally in, so no worries about that. And I can see here. So as soon as I see his, I will see that I'm in. So let's go and see things happening on the back end. So on the back end, so let me grab this for you to see it best. URL. So if you remember from the passive profile, let me grab this to the right. Requests here, responses on the in the bottom. This is my inspectors that will be useful. So if I go here, this is the first time on my frame 4 that I went to the portal, okay? And after that, I just used, and you can see here on the user, I used this UPN over here, and this is my SDS request, like we saw. After that, I will be redirected to my host. This is my host here, my ADFS, and this is the URL, so it's a passive profile, ADFS /LS, like we see. This is the username, so I can see that also in my web form over here, okay? So if I click, I can click web forms, or I can see raw, for example, and I will see the request over here, like we saw on the PowerPoint slides. So this is all requests. It's pretty big. Okay. So continuing. So if you remember a 401 from the last slides, why is that? Because if I'm on the authentication here at this moment, I'm not presenting no authorization header, right? So if no authorization header, I will have the server itself, the ADFS, saying, I don't recognize who you are, so let's negotiate, right? So, and we can see that in here, on the response, we can see on the raw. So the server will say, I will use Kerberos, or I will use NTLM. So please go for it, okay? And then after this, on the next frame, I will have exactly the same URL, because between here and here, then I will add my authorization header and I will use my Kerberos ticket. So in this moment, if I do klist tickets, I already have a ticket here because I try to contact, and what we'll do is that this computer will bring or create an internal Kerberos ticket from a domain controller, and it will provide it and used here because it's trying to negotiate, right? So I have an authorization header, I will have my Kerberos ticket, as you can see here, okay? So same URL, same hosts, exactly the same, they are pretty similar, they are similar. So after server says go and negotiate, okay, I negotiate, so I will use Kerberos because I have a Kerberos ticket provided by a domain controller. If it was like an NTLM ticket, I should see here NTLM, okay? And that can be also good for troubleshooting, and we'll see if you have a problem within our Active Directory. So after this, I'm already authenticated, so I will provide this to the server, to the STS, and then the STS will create a token, a SAML 1.1 token based on this request. So how can I see that? So if I go to web forms, okay, do you remember? So what we have in the body, WA, W result, so this is assigning requests. This is the result of what we have. This is what we should return to the client itself. So if I see here the result, I can just go to right mouse button, send to text wizard, and then I will have this. I can copy, I can paste on a notepad, I can save as, let's call it WIA we need to iterate authentication .xml. Save it, and let's bring it through Internet Explorer. Okay, so we open with here it is, Internet Explorer. Okay, so if you remember, so this is a XAML 1.1 token. Important things to see here, claims. So this is my UPN claim that I used. Okay. This is my immutable ID. And this is my certificate here. Okay, if you remember, so this is the format we will be using. Another thing is the issuer here. That should be exactly the same we have on ADFS, okay? In this case, for this domain here. Okay. This is an important part. So this is Windows Integrated Authentication, okay? So if I go again to my, let me minimize this part. So I'm in, okay? Let me close this. I have it here. So again, let me purge whatever I want. I don't want anything to be used. And I will not use anymore because I will go to my ADFS. And by default, I have a global authentication policy as Windows authentication by default. So I will remove this and I will active forms. Okay. Because I can't test with you guys NTLM. So form authentication. Let's see the difference. Okay. So I'll go minimize this. Go to my workstation. Let me open in private browsing. I forgot to say that. Okay. Just after that, I was running this one. So this is the fiddler. This is the request. And then this is the result. So we can see it as a login.srf. Okay. And then at the end, we will see this is because it was not working correctly, but we should see this. So this is to be ignored in the bottom here. Okay. So not this one, of course, because this is when we send to the authentication platform the content of our token, as you can see here. Okay. And then we'll send to our authentication platform. If you remember from the authentication profile, the default profile for passive. Okay. And after that, we'll have access to our portal. We can try to see web view here. It will not give us much, but this is what we have, on the web page. Okay. So let's clean everything here. Let's quickly jump to forms. So same drill, web cast one at carmohome.com. I need to do it again. Give me just a second. I forget to click here. So let me remove all. Let's again web page. This is still capturing. Okay. So let me use this guy being redirected, same drill. Okay. So that's the difference, right? So it will just stop until I have what I have here. So this is a form, right? So it's expecting me to provide username and password. So I will provide my password. Okay, so no single sign-on at all, right? So we will have the same experience when we are from the internet and engaging a DFS proxy, for example. So because from the outside, from the extranet, we'll only have or certificates or forms, not integrated. So I'm just in, same drill. Let me quickly stop capturing. Let's check this one. So same thing here, a new STS request, of course. Then, as you can see, no 401s, right? I didn't try to use anything or whatever. So if I go here, let me close this. Okay. So this is the request differences here. So I will see exactly the username on my frame 37. So after being redirected, I will be redirected to my STS. I'm on my STS. I will present a pop-up. So it's still my user because it's pre-populated from the portal itself. I will see the request. It's the sign-in request. I will see the realm. This is my Office 365 Online Party. This is what we should grab from the application itself on the reply. So, and I have another thing here. It's the pop-up, right? So that's why we see a form. So if I see a form, it's expecting me to provide some sort of username or credential or something. So it will present to my browser and say, okay, so this is what I have. And as you can see on the response below, we'll see on a web view, we'll see exactly the request here, right? So after this, this is the style only, so I don't need this one. Okay. So web form. Okay. So this is the first one. So after this one, we'll jump to 40. And after the 40, we'll see exactly the same thing. Okay. However, in the body, I will just add my username and password, as you can see here on the clear text, right? So eventually, if I'm using forms, I can have the password that is being used. So, and you can see it here clearly. Okay. That's the advantage. Like if you remember from the PowerPoint slides I was showing. So after this, so there's no integrated, there's nothing. So this is just the request, the body that will contain, that will send it back to the server that will have this, password here, and the server itself, the STS or the EDFS will just use it and goes to a domain controller and provide what we have here. And then we'll authenticate and then create the token, the same thing we have here, right? So if you remember on frame 43, we'll have the same result and the same token, exactly the same characteristics and with the same assertions and with the same data, okay? So as soon as we do this, okay, so we get back to the portal because we don't see it, it's pretty fast, and then with the sign-in request, and at the end we will use the token here that we're trying to use, that we created from ADFS, and we will send it and present it to the authentication platform, and the authentication platform will say, so yeah, so please go through from what you're trying to get, and you'll get access to it, okay? So in details, you can see everything on raw here, the body, for example, and the headers. There is no authentication header. So if I jump in here, there is nothing presented. Okay. So no NTLM or no Kerberos or nothing. Okay. So that's the difference between those. Okay. And at the end, things to get here, just to finish. So we can do some tests. For example, if I want to test forms requests without having go to the portal itself, I can raise, because this is the form, I can do a request. So I can go through a browser and I can set this URL. This is what we saw in the PowerPoint slides, how we can build it in. Okay. So, and I will do a request exactly to my, as you can see here. So without even go through the login portal and going through then to the redirect, I can do exactly a request direct to my STS. And then after I authenticate, webcast one. Okay. So basically, I'm just using a smart link or a smart relay to have access without going through the portal first. Okay. It's just the same thing as grabbing the frames, the hosts, and the URLs that we have here. and just bypassing the first part, okay? And then you can have a direct redirect to the portal itself, as you can see, okay? So just to finish, on the ADFS side, I was just forcing forms from the internet, okay? So if I have this, of course, I will use Windows Authentication first and then forms, or I will have this if there's any internet request from an application like Power BI or Power Query that will use an STS request to provide a username and password that is not Windows Authentication aware, and then we need to use forms authentication also in the internet. Like I said, on the extranet, we'll have only forms and certificates to be used. Okay. So this is the question and answer part. Guys, be free. You still have 5 minutes, more or less, that you might have. So Pedro is saying the best way to check what authentication are being used is always using Fiddler on the client side. Of course, of course. So the client side will see HTTP and HTTPS, right? So if you want to see it on the Fiddler threads, of course, is the most easy one to use. And like I said, the authentication headers, and then you'll see if it's being used by Kerberos or NTLM. Okay. And that's a good way to see if there's any potential Kerberos problem. Even though we can always achieve single sign-on with NTLM or with Kerberos. Of course, for Windows Active Directory, Kerberos should be used to should be the one to use because it has a lot of good things compared to NTLM. Okay, always from the client side, of course. On the client side, because eventually it's a passive profile, like I said in the beginning. If you're using old versions of Skype or Outlook, it should be totally different. And Fiddler, from the client side, it will not be good because you'll not see the there will be no request from the client directly to the STS, only from the client to the online platform. Okay, for this, of course, Office 65.
Thank you, Luis. I think you can hear me now, or everyone can hear me now. Can you thumbs up, please?
Welcome.
Yes.
Yes, finally. Okay, guys, I have a poll over here. Please, if you kindly gave a note to the quality of this webcast. So, guys, thank you for one more webcast. Luis, we're counting with you in another webcast in the future. Thank you for being on this one. As always, very good content and very well presented. This webcast will be presented and will be available on the blog and the YouTube, as well on the Channel 9. Thank you, everyone, and we see you next time. Bye.
Bye, thank you.